Good morning, church. My name is Toby. I think Pastor Andy already told everyone. And it's nice to be in God's presence, bringing God's word to everyone. Nothing delights me, and I think for most of us, nothing delights us better than being sure and being consciously aware that God is already here. The first set of words that we got from Snapley when he started was that God wants to heal. And that reinforces what God passed on to me for now. Thank you. And after we had the series of wonderful worship and the altar call that was made, and on again, God kept speaking that he wants to heal. And I'm so certain that lives will be healed this morning. Amen. So we'll be considering the first chapter in the book of Mark. It's one of the Gospels. And in the past few weeks, we've gone through different themes. Last week was very awesome because we did a session on prayer. And it was a good time to be reminded about how important prayer is and to personally develop the culture of prayer. So in Mark chapter 1, it started off with John the Baptist, who was actually meant to prepare the way for Jesus. And we talked about how Jesus himself was got baptized by John. And that was in verse 9. And after Jesus got baptized, it's funny that the Spirit will lead Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. And he was there for 40 days. And there's something I read from Mark's account during the wilderness. And it's in verse 13. He was there in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beast. And the angels ministered to him. So while he was in the wilderness, and he was being tested, Mark recorded that he had a company of angels around him who were daily ministering to him. And after then, Jesus made a bold declaration. And that declaration, I call it the Galilean Declaration by Jesus. And he said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. And he said, repent and believe in the gospel. So after he made a declaration which officially opened up his ministry, he went about doing the work. So he called his disciples, he called the four, and he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And after he called the first set of disciples, in verse 21, he started doing miracles. And the first recorded miracle in the book of Mark was that he cast out unclean spirits in the synagogue. And people were astonished by his teachings because he taught them like someone who had authority. And there's something about knowing Jesus as a miracle worker. We know Jesus as the Messiah. We know Jesus as the Son of God. We know Jesus as one of the parties in the Trinity. But there's something symbolic about knowing Jesus as someone who works miracles. I tried to do a search before now and to see how many miracles were recorded in the Gospels. Miracles that were performed by Jesus himself. And I think there were about 37, some said 37, some said 40. I think I counted 37. And I remember, I think the first one was when he was at the wedding in Cana. You remember the miracle, when he had to literally turn water to wine. and went about healing every manner of diseases and restoring situations that were abnormal back to normal. There was a guy whose hand was withered, and he restored that hand. You remember the miracle of multiplication? 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And he fed almost 5,000 with that. There's a miracle in which people toiled all through the night and they couldn't catch anything. And just spoke a word, launched into the deep. And that was a great catch. Miracles over and over again. In fact, John, that's one of the other people that wrote the gospel, said if the number of miracles that Jesus performed were to be recorded in a book, there wouldn't be enough room. Yeah, it's in the Bible. And even here, even though they recorded the miracle of unclean spirit, if you just go and read to that's in verse 32. That's after his, at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon possessed. The whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases. These ones are not documented, they're not part of the 37 I talked about. And he cast out many demons. And I want to remind someone here this morning that Jesus is not done with the ministry of performing miracles. He's done it in the past. He's doing it. And as long until we get raptured or until he comes back, he's still active in the miracle of the ministry of doing miracles. That's what we want to focus on today too much. We're focusing on, so after the initial miracle, people got saved, and people were healed, that guy in the synagogue, the impure spirit got cast out. Then we come to verse 40. And verse 40, I'm just going to read through from verse 40 to 45. Now a leper came to him, imploring him. He was kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, he stretched out his hands and touched him. And he said to him, I'm willing, and be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him. And he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Amen. There's something about healing of leprosy. Growing up, I heard of leprosy colony, yeah. And I think the pocket of that, from where I come from in Africa, and I think probably some few pockets in Asia. How many of you have seen a leper before? Have you seen a leper? No. Oh, you've seen, yeah. I've seen two. I'll tell you my story. So by virtue of my training, I was in med school and we were meant to go to a rural posting. So rural posting is similar to a primary care experience, like a GP surgery. But it's not in town, not in Kingsley. Probably one of the outskirts, the rural places. And during that posting, we were told to attend a leprosy clinic. And the leprosy clinic was not situated in the main complex. It had to be situated at the back, even with the advancement in technology, innovations in science and medicine, it still had to be put at the back. And when I saw these people, I saw them with deformity that I've never seen before. Limbs gone, fingers. Leprosy is a bad disease. It's a very bad disease. I've seen amputated fingers. By the time you see all your fingers, all the fingers, the 10 fingers, almost gone. And that is what Jesus was dealing with. Leprosy in the Jewish culture was something that was taken as the height of shame, the height of not being alone. In fact, if you go to Leviticus in the Old Testament, the number of things that Moses wrote, the laws of Moses about people who come down with leprosy. And I'll tell you something. Probably we can do some studies together. So if you can go to Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45. Leviticus chapter 13. Verse 45. It said, now the leper on whom the sore is. This is the Bible now. He said, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare. He shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. So, leprosy is synonymous with the state of mourning. I mean, the way you symbolize when you're mourning in the Old Testament with the Jewish culture is when you tear your clothes. It's synonymous with being segregated. It's synonymous with mockery. It's synonymous with shame. It's synonymous with distress. It's a stigma. It's synonymous with isolation. And not just that, anyone who is a leper is not meant to be in the company of other people because he or she is unclean. And whenever he wants to go to where people are, he needs to announce his presence. And he must shout on top of his voice, unclean, no, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. And that's the type of person that Jesus was dealing with. I know leprosy, thanks for innovation, but thanks for antibiotics now. We can get it cured quite faster, even before it degenerates. And I was thinking, is there any disease, present day disease, that's probably a condition that's synonymous with leprosy in terms of how bad it is? And probably, I'm just thinking, maybe cancer. Oh, I've seen how cancer can destroy things, and can destroy things very fast. My first encounter, you know, it's something to be offering care. It's another thing to be a patient or to be the caregiver. And a couple of years ago, I was doing both. So my uncle came. I was in the teaching hospital there, and I was training. And my uncle came, and he came with a landlady who's very good. She's a Christian. She was an assistant pastor in the church. And she came with cough. And she was coughing up blood. And apart from that, she was essentially fine. And I was then doing a post in medicine, so we'll go to the ward in the morning to do everything we needed to do. And the evening, I'll go as a family to go and offer support and care that I could. Unfortunately for her, the cancer spread at the time was discovered. And I saw her slowly. I saw her slowly die. And everything happened within 3 weeks. Everything happened within 3 weeks. Yeah. So, I've been exposed to medical conditions. conditions, very debilitating, medical conditions that carry so much burden on lives. And that's just a single, that's just one experience, day-to-day experience. I mean, I've had to interact with people who have had to live with this body. But the good news is, Jesus is in the business of doing miracles. And Jesus healed leprosy in the past. And Jesus can heal cancer. So Jesus knew about all of this. Jesus is well versed in the law of Moses. He knows that when an unclean person or someone who was a leper, when he was to make a contact, he was not meant to make a contact with him. That's number one thing. And if he was to have a contact with him, the leper should have shouted, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." But this leper came to Jesus. And when Jesus saw him, after he knelt before him, and he said he wanted to be clean, the Bible says that Jesus had compassion on him. Jesus had compassion on him. And that compassion made Jesus to stretch his hands. He didn't allow this guy to come. Jesus went for him. You reach out unto him. And I can tell you the number of things that we'll be able to do so well if we can translate our energy into the mode of compassion. Compassion for the lost souls. Like I remember when I was in school then, and we heard a similar message, similar to what Dr. Moyo talked about this morning. Give your life to Christ. And at that time, I had a lot of people who were unbelievers around me. And I was driven like with so much passion. I can't see the people around me. I can't see them remain or say it. And then it was like on a Sunday like this, went to church. And the preacher was talking about that anytime he wants to travel, we'll fast and pray for the people he was going to travel with inside the bus or coach. And in Nigeria, where I come from, some things are allowed. You can preach inside the bus, in public buses. And I can remember, I just feel like that's something I can do. And I wanted to keep my message as short. I didn't want to be a nuisance to other commuters. And I can remember God telling me that that time I was using the word for today, that was the devotion I was using. And I think we have some there. I think I saw some there. Yeah. And at the back of the word for today, there a particular page. We talked about leading people to Christ. And you see three reasons why you need Jesus. Number one, because you have a past. And I would say because you have a past, you can't go into your past, but Jesus can go into your past. Number two, because you need a friend. The Bible says there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He knows you more than you can know yourself. And number three, because he holds your future. And that was my sermon. Usually within 5 minutes, I'm done. And and what was driving me was just, I got saved. I want people around me to be saved. And I tell you, the number of things that we done quicker, the number of things that we get done more effectively when we're passionate about it. When we're passionate about it. I've always been crying and we've been praying about God revisiting UK, evangelizing UK. We only need a little bit of passion about it. Jesus' ministry was characterized by every single of his action was compassionate. Many times, it's not the only time when Jesus would be driven with passion. In fact, a number of miracles was passionate. There are three recorded times when Jesus had to raise someone from the dead. There's a widow's son in Nain. The son was raised from dead by Jesus. There's Jairus' daughter, who was raised from the dead. And we know about Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. And if there was any time when it was recorded that Jesus wept, John 11:35, when he saw that his friend Lazarus was dead. And he wasn't just compassionate. He went to the next thing. Jesus himself reached out. So, Jesus understood that this is a serious case. In fact, Jesus is used to being faced with messed up situations. In fact, at the time I was going to the scripture, and I saw that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The heart was without form. The heart was void. Darkness was over upon the face of the deep. So basically, it was a messed up situation. Everything was void. Everything was scattered. Everything was organized. There was nothing organized. So from the beginning of beginnings, if there's anything like that, Jesus has always known how messed up situation can be. If you look a little bit further, there was a time when he was alone in the boat and there is a raging storm and he was sleeping. And the disciples, they came to him, "Don't you care that we're going to die?" And Jesus, he rebuked them. "Peace be still," and he became still. So when Jesus saw this leper, he knew, you know, this man, he could envisage what this man has been going through. How ostracized, how rejected, how denounced, how isolated he had been. And he went for it. And one thing that Jesus did, the Bible says, he touched him. There are various ways Jesus could have done miracles. There are many times Jesus, he needed to just speak a word sometimes. He didn't need to touch him. But touching a leper was synonymous with the height of humility. It was synonymous with being deliberate. It was the height of love. And I'm reminding someone here, God is saying, "I still love you. I still love you. Irrespective of how messed up things could have been around you, he's saying, I still love you. And I'm stepping into that situation. I'm bringing stability to that situation. I'm bringing calmness to that situation. I'm bringing peace into that situation. Is the healing you want? I've said, I'm going to heal. And I'm doing it right now." He touched him. I remember this song we used to sing. This song by Bill Gaither. "Shackled by a heavy body, beneath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me. And now, I'm no longer the same." Verse 2 says, "Since I have met this blessed Savior, since he's cleansed and made me whole, Oh, I will never cease to praise him. I will shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. How many of us know the song? He touched me. Oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, yeah, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Come and sing it again. He touched me. He touched me. No, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. Now I know he touched me and me. Jesus touched this leper, and immediately the leprosy left him. Jesus is still doing miracles. He's still doing it. And I want to consciously know what happened after. I know Jesus had to tell him, go and show yourself to the priest. He disobeyed. He was shouting. I won't focus too much on that. I can imagine how excited he was. And so we can forgive him. But we saw a messed up situation. Immediately, within a second, being reordered. And Jesus is doing that today. While I was praying for, preparing this message, God specifically told me from a few things. And as we round up, I'm just going to say it. He said, the people here, your situation is as bad as a cancer. And I'm not talking literally, it could be a cancer, physical cancer, but it can be a situation as bad as cancer. And what's cancer really? Cancer is when normal cells, for some reasons, they start growing and they start dividing without control. So you're having a situation in which you've tried everything, but you cannot control. Every maneuver, every strategy has been deployed, but it seems to be out of control. Nothing seems to be working. And it says, I'm the specialist in such a type of a messed up situation. So your situation might be like what was in Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 17. Even though the fig tree does not bud. So it's like your fig tree is not budding. It's like there are no grapes in your vine. It's like the only crop is failing. It's like your feed is not producing any food. It's like there are no sheep in your pen and there's no cattle in your store. But he said, rejoice! Because the cancer specialist is here. He said, I will control the growth. I will dictate the pace. He said, I'm making your feet like that of a deer. And I'm enabling you to tread on your hearts. He said, no longer will you be called deserted. No longer will your name be called, or your land be called desolate. So instead, you'll be called Hephzibah, and your land will be called married. Say, I will delight in you, and your land will be like a wedding celebration. Everything you've lost because of that leprosy will be brought back. I will make you an everlasting pride. I will make you the joy of many generations. Father, we thank you for your word has come to us. We know you as a miracle worker. You are always in the business of doing miracles. And we pray for every single life here who truly wants healing. The great physician is here. Let healing come. Let healing come, Jesus. Healing to the mind. Healing to this, to the soul of people. Let physical healing happen. You did all manners of miracles. Creative miracles. Reformative miracles. You healed one, you healed 1,000. You can still do it again. Nothing is impossible for you, Jesus. Heal in a way that you alone can do. Restore in a way that you alone can do. Touch lives here, Jesus. Touch life, Jesus. Do the impossible. And let your name be glorified. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you, church.
Sorry about that. Yes, give a loud clap for this lovely word. God, you are glory. Thank you, Brother Toby, for a wonderful sermon.